Welcome to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We all contemplate making changes in our lives that would allow us to live more authentically, but it can be hard to take action. Allison is here to educate, equip, and empower you with the tools you need to start authentically living life your way. Get ready to eradicate your limitations and destructive patterns as you take full responsibility for your own happiness. This show is not just talk. It is conversation for profound self-awareness, acceptance, and appreciation, the key elements to stepping into the power as the creator of your very best life. The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe starts now.
Hey everyone, and welcome. You're listening to The Alley Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Stay with me for the next hour as we venture into this whole idea, this concept of authenticity and how to help you experience it so much more fully. Bear with me. I've got the sniffles a little bit today. So in the face of authenticity, we're just going to kind of roll with what we've got. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio as we dive deep into this concept of authenticity. And on The Alley Effect, we hold rich conversation, helping educate, equip, and empower you as you authentically live life your way. So today we're going to address a topic. You can't go far in the world of authenticity without having these properly equipped with you. So we're going to talk today about boundaries, something that some of you have probably no doubt heard about. Maybe you would familiarize yourself a great deal with this. Maybe you would consider yourself pretty well boundaried in the world. Others of you, perhaps not too much. You can't go far in life without having some kind of understanding of what boundaries are. And yet what I find is that a lot of us are terrible at setting them, clarifying them, and certainly actually following through with them. So I wonder, as we talk about this idea like boundaries, what comes to your mind? Do you get an image or some type of picture? Do you kind of envision like a brick wall? Or are you a little looser than that? Do you kind of picture maybe a fence or even a gate? Are boundaries just invisible or non-existent for you in any of this? Do you just kind of envision this task that's impossible for you? What's your sense about boundaries and how you do with them? I wonder too, is there a difference in your personal life versus your professional life? The way that you handle boundaries? Do you have some clarity about what they look like professionally? I know for me, being a social worker, I have HIPAA, I have the code of ethics. And so for me, boundaries are rock solid. There's no gray in boundaries. It's kind of this all or none category. And so professionally, being able to maintain and sustain boundaries is actually very easy because I have this guise of professionalism that I have to abide by if I want to keep a license. Personally, not so much. There's tons of gray, day to day, person to person, situation to situation. Personally, there's so much more gray category when it comes to actually setting boundaries. And I recognize the difference for me personally versus professionally. How about for you? If you actually had to give yourself a grade, you had to score yourself, how would you rank yourself in terms of boundary health? Are you teetering into the A category and kind of recognize you are solid in that? Or are you kind of realizing like, oh my, really a grade like D and F level? Well, stay tuned. Hopefully we'll be able to increase that grade, so to speak, a little bit. I don't doubt that boundaries are probably one of the main topics that people come in to see me for. To be honest, I even offer a life coaching course. It's called Commodities, Boundaries, and Decision-Making. It's a 6-week course where people come into my office live in a group setting in order to kind of learn about this concept of boundaries, that even as grown people, we struggle to know what to send, how to set them, when to set them, with whom to set them. I mean, it's much more complicated than people actually might realize. I believe that it's potentially the greatest single struggle that people actually have in maintaining their sense of well-being and even their relationship health. This is a show about authenticity, authentically living life your way. And I believe that boundaries are probably the most critical tool in helping you actually define who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what you'll tolerate, and what you won't. I think boundaries are the important information to help you be able to assert some of those things. And the good and also hard part about boundaries is that they are totally up to you. This is 100% up to you. No one else can define, assert, clarify, and definitely not even know your boundaries until you do that. Boundaries are 100% up to you to recognize, explain, reinforce, clarify, and as I said earlier, follow through with. That's where it really packs the most punch, so to speak. And yet, boundaries are so important, and we all know that we need to have them and understand maybe the basic principles, but yet there is just so much confusion about them. My hope is that after today, we'll be able to clear that and offer you so much more clarity and perspective about boundaries, how to set them, and why they are so important. So I've started out a few shows kind of talking about a fun fact. And what I'm realizing is that sometimes they're actually not very fun facts. They're actually sometimes very humbling facts about me. And here's another one for today in this topic of boundaries. Because even though I am a therapist, I am a life coach, I've got all this training and experience, I was terrible at boundaries, absolutely terrible at them. It wasn't until I hit this emotional and energetic wall that I realized that there was a problem. It was the crisis point I wrote about in Misunderstood, where I was like, I lost my you-know-what over a banana, this pivotal point where I was like, something is going on. The issue is that I thought it was everybody else. Remember, I said humbling. I thought it was other people that they needed to shape up, you know, but this is what was my wake-up call for me to start to look at what I was doing and why I was doing all of that. You see, in spite of all of those years of training and degrees and certificates, the books I've read, you name it, I was really lousy at setting boundaries. And I actually had so much confusion and a lot of misperception about boundaries and this thing called kindness. And that is so hard for me to admit, to just acknowledge, like I misused kindness, thinking that if I was kind, people would be kind back to me. And this realization, I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't do it to manipulate or to trick or harm people, but I just thought those were the rules of the road. And so people really misperceiving this idea of boundaries, kindness, helping other people. Again, my hope is that we shine some light on some more accurate points about boundaries. It was only after all of that crisis stuff that I started to recognize how poor my boundaries were and how much I had been focusing on taking care of everyone else. I wrote Misunderstood, and very much like I offered that Who's This Chick episode, to just drop the veil and to share not only my own struggle, but to provide a roadmap for people to begin to understand how to set boundaries, how to gain some clarity, how to tune in for people who actually were struggling just as badly as me. So today we're going to work on some of that material from Misunderstood. We're going to address boundaries and trying to help paint a picture of why they're so important. Just like you have doors on your home and probably even locks, our passwords are very safely protected. We do all of these things to safeguard what's ours in order to keep other people out. We have very well-defined property lines. My guess is you don't wander into your neighbor's kitchen and just start meandering and stuff. Like, you know clearly what belongs to them versus what belongs to you. We have property lines, state lines, country, right, that separate us versus them, so to speak. I would guess you probably have defined workspace, even if it's just territory like this, a space that defines where you're actually performing the duties that you have. Maybe you have a cubby in an office somewhere, or actually a locked door that you go into an office and you have space that's there. That is a defined boundary in your defined workspace. Even with a work contract, an employment agreement. We have signed contracts that really will define what the expectations are, what the do's and don'ts, what the roles and the responsibilities are for you and for the other person. You see, we do a really, really good job of defining all of those other parameters. Yet when it comes to us, kind of what works for us, our inner being, we don't always have such clear, concise boundaries. We often don't sign on the dotted line for any of that type of information. And again, hopefully a starting point today. If you have done any work with boundaries, perhaps you know about the work of Townsend and Cloud. And Henry Cloud was quoted as saying, boundaries are basically about providing structure. And structure is essential in building anything that thrives. I don't know about you, but this life is more than just survival to me. I really want things that thrive, ideas, a business, relationships, a home. And so understanding that boundaries are the thing that provides the structure. So thank you to Cloud for being able to offer that. So why are they so important? If they're all so critical, what is it about boundaries that are so important? And I believe that it's actually twofold. The first one is that I think it really helps for us individually. So for you, yourself. On the bottom rung of the ladder, boundaries will ensure your physical well-being, your physical safety. Now, that's kind of like the bottom rung, is that it will help you identify, like, it's never going to be okay for somebody to, you know, punch you and that kind of stuff. So kind of the idea that it enhances your level of physical safety and well-being, your emotional, sexual, financial safety. And then as you go up the ladder, certainly your well-being in each of those categories too. Boundaries will help you define what's yours and what's not yours. What is it that actually belongs to other people? They will allow you to take care of yourself and the things that are your responsibility. Boundaries are going to help you define your preferences, what it is you like and what you don't like, what feels good and what doesn't. So just even kind of getting some clarity about what you prefer and what works for you. The Misunderstood is titled Misunderstood, Rewriting the Rules of Dignity and Self-Respect. Boundaries are incredibly important at helping you maintain a level of personal dignity and your own level of self-respect as you manage your own responsibilities. They allow you to function from a place of authenticity, which is the whole point, right? Rather than all of that social, familial, and cultural conditioning, your truth starts to come from within as you offer a solid yes, not based on pleasing and performing and all that kind of stuff. And so that's part of the reason why boundaries are important for you individually, but also in terms of relationship. Boundaries are a phenomenal tool for weeding out unhealthy people. It's kind of like shining, you know, water to the witch. It's like, oh, you know, unhealthy people tend not to really like boundaries. And so you'll know more clearly about where your healthy people are when they respond well to your boundaries. People don't have to guess or try to read your mind to anticipate what's okay and what's not okay, because you've been able to clarify and communicate what your wants, your needs, and certainly your preferences. Boundaries will increase your connection, your safety, your trust, and your intimacy with safe people. They'll know, they'll warm into kind of this idea because they know that they can trust you so much more deeply. They trust your integrity and they now know the truth of your yes and your no. Boundaries will certainly define your overall health of relationships because it's not based on habit or resentment or obligation. You're showing up because you want to, and people will sense that. So we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go into the different types of boundaries, how to recognize them, and how to begin actually setting some of them. You're listening to The Allie Effect with me, Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
We're back here on The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Today, we're talking about this idea of authenticity and how to educate, equip, and empower you with these things called boundaries. Before we go too much further, I want to make sure you know how to be in touch with me. At any point, you are welcome to call my office at 859-341-7773. If you want to visit my website and check out all the information I have on there, please feel free. It's allisonblythe.com. If you want to send me an email, I check that really consistently and can get back to you very quickly. It's allisonblythe@live.com. If you want to just follow a good boost on social media, please check me out at Allison Blythe Life Coach. Let's dive back in because we're talking about this concept of boundaries, and there is a lot to know and a lot of confusion, which is what we're going to hopefully clear up a little bit more today. So I mentioned before we took a break, a quote from Henry Cloud, and he's got another one, which I think is equally supportive in the work we're trying to do today. And he says, boundaries define us. They define what is me and what is not me. A boundary shows me where I end and someone else begins, leading me to a sense of ownership. I love that, ownership. Knowing what I am to own and taking responsibility for gives me freedom. I mean, I think that that just summarizes the importance that it's actually about me owning what's mine and taking responsibility for, which is one of the life tools that we talk about is self-responsibility, to know what is what you are to own and also give, it takes a sense of freedom. Yeah, very powerful. So I really appreciate and respect the work that Townsend and Cloud have done. So we've talked about like, okay, yeah, they are important. We laid out all the reasons why they're important, not only for you, but also for the relationship health and safety and well-being. Okay, so we get that. So why all of the confusion? If they are so important, why do people get so mixed up about them? And I started to think about actually lots of different categories of where people might get messed up about these. And the first one is, I think there's a ton of misinformation about boundaries. I think that from the time we're very, very little, we get messages about being good, being kind, helpful, loving, all of these different messages. Now, most of those are implemented in an attempt to shape us into decent moral human beings. Like, I don't think that those messages were really intended to do any harm. But sometimes those messages have gone really far. We get messages about not being mean and not being naughty. And sometimes that sense of disapproval. And I wonder for you, did you get early messages in childhood about what it meant to be good? And how tightly is that tied to your boundary or your sense of self where you feel like you don't know how to assert a no? Right? So messages you probably got from the time you were little, and that can be in your culture, your family, certainly socially in your neighborhood, all of the expectations, the rules, and what was expected from you in terms of religion, of what you learned as sinful behavior. Lots of profound messages that are probably typically intended for good, but sometimes maybe misinterpreted or taken a little bit too far. Most people want to be liked. They want to be helpful. And when it starts to take shape in terms of your identity, that you believe that you have to be kind and good, that you don't know how to say no or turn down invites, that's where it starts to go a little bit too far. What is it that got you attention and reward? Did you get messages about being the good little girl or the little man of the house and daddy's little helper? Again, probably messages, terms of endearment and affection, but yet it starts to take shape about good and what's expected of you. And kind of the idea that that far-reaching kindness, kind of like what I shared about myself, that being kind with somewhat of an ulterior motive, thinking that it would earn me a place or allow me to be really, really liked, rather than coming from this true place because I just simply had it to give. Say you say yes because you want to be liked and thought highly of, rather than kind of coming from this place of authenticity. And I wonder too, just so much basic information. People will say to me all the time, I just don't want to appear selfish, right? I just don't want to be selfish. And we've lost permission to just really manage an element of self-care. We confuse the two, that self-care equates to selfish. And I want to really debunk that. I also think we make a lot of assumptions. So there's a lot of misinformation. That's one reason why there's so much confusion. I also think we assume a lot. You know what they say when you make an assumption. I think most people tend to believe that others see the world the way they see it. That if something's okay with me, then surely it should be okay with you. Or that we have some kind of similar or the same boundaries. And we function from that place that if I would do it, then it must be okay with you too. And I think it's challenging sometimes to realize that people actually have very different boundaries, things that are okay with them versus things that aren't. And we'll talk more about this. So kind of what we assume that people are, what's okay with me is okay with you, or that people should know. Well, you know, they should just know, like, you don't do that. Or, but how are they going to know unless you use your voice? A lot of times people will assume that if you have a boundary, it's kind of universal for everyone else. And that's actually not the case at all. Another reason why I think people get so confused about boundaries is that it just becomes a habit. Maybe you saw things role modeled, again, maybe religion, or it was reinforced for you over and over and over again. What was it that you were taught? I grew up with a family member who always ate the burnt toast. I thought that person really liked burnt toast. Come to find out, they hate burnt toast. They just didn't want to feed it to other people, which, again, there's something very loving and very sacrificial about that. But to what extent did you go to learn? What extent did you learn to go in order to accommodate and appease other people? One main reason that I find people have a very, very hard time setting boundaries, and this one, it really deserves some attention in and of itself, is because it's so hard to watch the people we love struggle, to sit in their own, even if it's their own consequences, to watch people be in pain or discomfort or to fail at something or struggle in any capacity. As a matter of fact, if we were in my office, my physical office at work, I would show you how I, in the decor, very subtly, I have butterflies in the decor worked in. And the reason for that is because it's a very, very important reminder for me. Because butterflies, you see, in all of our human wisdom, we have the ability to completely change the course for that poor little caterpillar, right? Like at any point, we could just get in there. We've got tools and we've got the strength to just cut that little guy right out of that cocoon. And the reason that I have butterflies all over my office is because I want my own personal reminder that it is actually the struggle. It's that butterfly's attempt to break out of the cocoon, what we would interpret as terrible or so awful for that person. Actually, it is that struggle that gives the butterfly the strength of its wings. Breaking out is what sets it free. If we were to cut it out, we would actually kill it because it wouldn't have the strength in order to fly. So this reminder that, are you someone who kind of jumps into people's lives because you can't bear to watch them struggle? You're watching them go through painful or hard things. And so you jump in kind of with your scissors, so to speak, and always rescue and help and fix for people. Maybe you need some butterflies worked into your own decor to remember that, like, detachment is one of the best gifts we can ever give to support people as they find their own dignity to work through their own struggles. Okay. So it's hard to watch people struggle, which is another reason why we sometimes stink at boundaries. Another reason is because I believe that boundaries have a ton of nuances. And what I mean by that is rarely are boundaries solid, black and white, all or none. Sometimes they are. Like I said, it's not going to ever be okay that somebody punched me, right? Like, I'm not going to ever be okay with that. That's a black and white, maybe more obvious type boundary. But for the most part, boundaries are incredibly gray. Remember, we talked about professional versus personal. The idea that boundaries have a lot of nuances in the fact that they change. They change over time. They change from person to person, maybe day to day. If I'm just meeting you, my boundaries are going to look a little bit more rigid and a little bit more reinforced than if I've known you for several years. If you catch me on a Tuesday night when I've been working for a little bit and I know I've got more work to go, it's going to look different than how maybe I look on a Sunday morning. And I don't mean physically, right? Like, where's my energy level and what is it that I have to give? Boundaries are very different and they can change from situation to situation, day to day, as we grow up, as different things start to change. I used to love to talk on the phone. Now, not so much, right? Like, kind of that boundary looks very, very different as I've aged and different priorities have started to come in. So yeah, I think they're so gray that it's hard sometimes to understand what it is that really drives you and what feels okay and what doesn't. And then the last reason why I think boundaries are so confusing to be able to understand and the nuances and all that kind of stuff about them is because there's actually a lot of different types. And people might not necessarily recognize this. Maybe you're more familiar with the maybe standard type of boundaries. Like you know about physical boundaries. Maybe you know about verbal or maybe even sexual boundaries. But I wonder, do you have any concept of how many different types of boundaries there actually are? We're going to go through them today. But understanding the boundaries, actually, there are a lot of different categories. What comes to mind? How many do you think? You think maybe like 4? You think maybe 8 types of boundaries, 25 different categories? What I have found in my work with clients, and I'm not saying that this is absolutely all of them or you have to include all of these, but in my work and what I outline and misunderstood is that there are actually 12 different categories of boundaries. 12. You can see potentially the reason for so much confusion in that kind of stuff. So what are your thoughts? We're going to go through each of those 12 categories. So I'm not going to leave you hanging. We'll go through all of them. But I wonder, what are your thoughts? 12 different categories, all the nuances and all the reasons why people might get confused and all that social and family training that you got all reinforced. Are you pre-aware of some of these categories? Like, can you start to recognize maybe the differences? Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about each of these. We're going to dive in a little bit more in order to maybe, again, stop some of the confusion that you might be feeling and help you build authentically living life your way. So I am Allison Blythe, and you're listening to The Ally Effect. When we come back, we're going to talk about more how you can use your boundaries in order to help you do just that, authentically live life your way. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to move? Join me, Jenny C. Cohen, on my show, Dance to Heal, Transformation Through Movement, and learn how movement through dance can heal you. I am an award-winning performer, mother of 2, comedian, and creator of Dance to Heal Wellness. Tune in every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more or work with me, visit JennyCCohen.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
We're back here on The Allie Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Today, we are continuing our conversation about authenticity, of course, but also helping you understand boundaries and how being more clear about your boundaries, what they are and how to set them and why they're so important, can really help you live life so much more from the inside out. Before we went to break, I said that in my work, I've been able to outline 12 different categories of boundaries, 12. And so I'm going to list those, and then we're going to go through each of them to help you understand like what is each category and what's involved. So the first four, I think, are fairly commonplace. I think most people would go, yeah, maybe even the first five. Yeah, I get that. That makes sense. So physical boundaries, emotional, sexual boundaries, verbal, and financial. Okay, so most people will go, yeah, that makes sense. Then as we move forward a little bit more, material boundaries. So not just finance, but like material too, of what's okay and what's not okay. If you've tuned into the episode about time and energy and understanding your commodities, realizing that these deserve your full force boundaries with your time and energy boundaries, social boundaries. And then this is the newer category. We're not going to get to all of these today, but this is a newer category that I think with the enhancement of social media and some instant gratification that exists in our world, I refer to this as like a distance/space boundary or even like a tech boundary that I think is really beginning to surface. And the last two are food boundaries and spiritual, right? So we're going to dive into as many as we possibly can today and then just offer a starting point. So the first category are your physical boundaries. And again, I think this one, most people would be able to kind of have some basic understanding. And I think it's more easily recognized because we do have those physical representations. Like I said, we've got doors, we've got locks, we've got fences, we've got defined property lines. So physical boundaries tend to resonate a little bit more clearly with people. We get, you know, that's mine kind of understanding. But it also includes things like proximity. How close, have you ever had like one of those close talkers? Like, how comfortable do you feel with people being in your space? And here's an example of the nuances. Obviously, a stranger coming into your space or someone standing above you in your space versus maybe a child or a partner, right? Like you can start to see that it changes. I would like for you to maybe think about your physical boundaries in your own little hula hoop. It's not this big, huge territory. Your physical boundaries really being this small little hula hoop and what's in your space. It also includes things like your property. So something you would define as your own, maybe like your bedroom, your closet, maybe your bathroom. And what do you close the door? Do you leave the door open? Showering, your car is also certainly in terms of like your physical boundaries, wallet and purse. People talk about social training, right? Like sometimes people get very solid messages. Other times it's like not that big of a deal. Go into my purse. Other people are like, oh, that territory. Like I don't go there. Like I'm not allowed there. Your office space, like we talked about, and how maybe those boundaries have changed in more recent years because more people are working from home. So not only your physical body, but also your personal space. I worked with a client named Lou, and Lou was having a really hard time. He was a young intern and he was in college and was studying, and Lou had moved to 7 different places through his college career. He had lived with different groups of people. And at some point, Lou began to wake up and realize, like, wait a minute, I'm the common denominator. They've all lived together for 4 years. And here's me now on my potentially 8th roommate situation. What is going on? And as we started to chat a little bit more, one of the things that Lou was able, when he would kind of come in with his deepest complaints, he would talk about the fact that his roommates never closed doors. They wouldn't knock. They wouldn't, whether he was home or not, they would just kind of wander in. And Lou began to talk about from his perspective, when he was little, boundaries were very clearly enforced in a lot of different ways. His parents would lock him in his room at night. So they would put him to bed and lock his door from the outside. His parents' bedroom remained locked when they would go to work and that kind of stuff. Food, just from a young guy, like they would put food way up to high where he couldn't reach it. I mean, the boundaries in Lou's childhood home were very rigid, very black and white, literally with locked, closed, solid doors. And so for him, that was the way that things were done. It was like the separation. These roommates, not so much. He had no understanding. Like, again, he thought other people were the problem, but this idea that he would never clarify with them. He would never state his preferences. He would just pack his stuff and leave. So it never even gave people an opportunity to be able to negotiate or talk through those types of boundaries. See, so those are just some examples of where they can actually, if we're not clear about them and speaking up about them, how much trouble they can actually cause 8 environments later. So physical boundaries will also include things like physical touch, shaking hands. When clients used to come into my office, I would almost always shake hands, you know, eye contact, that kind of stuff. We don't do that so much anymore. Hugging, the idea of like, are you hugging? Are you not hugging? Are we loud? Are we not allowed? Like all of a sudden, physical boundaries kind of have a whole new meaning and priority. Remember, we talked about like that bottom rung of safety and well-being. What about things like kissing or public display of affection? Do you see these as ways of like affection and connecting with people? Or is it kind of the opposite? Does it feel very invasive and actually very disconnecting with people? Your spin, your undercurrent of how you perceive those physical boundaries are totally fine. It's just important for you to know how to clarify those and state those in relationship. I would imagine that physical touch would depend on with whom and for how long. Like, do you want a 10-minute hug, or does that feel like real stifling and smothering? Right? Those are all some of the nuances that we were talking about. So physical boundaries, your body, physical touch that you're okay with, and your personal space. I would imagine that right out of the gate, some things start to kind of pop off for you, ideas and thoughts that you might be having. Share those with me, because I would like to know even your feedback about physical boundaries. So we're going to dive into one more category, and we're going to talk about emotional boundaries. And this is, being an empath, this is a category that I think is really, really profound, and it's so different for people. What's your comfort level with different types of emotion? I would call that like emotional tolerance. How okay are you with things like anger or sadness, like someone else's emotion? How about guilt? Are you easily motivated by guilt because you just can't stand the way that it feels? Does anger feel very scary with you? I would imagine there's probably a lot of nuances. What's the context? What's the volume? Right. So what's your emotional tolerance? I'll give you an example that for me, I have no issue with anger, right? Like even anger directed at me, I'm okay with it. Like I'm not intimidated by it. Now, anger is not violence, right? I was talking about emotion, not behavior, but kind of understanding that this emotion, I mean, it's what I do for a living. I hold deep, profound space, but there is an emotion that I have very, very little tolerance for. I don't know if it's an emotion or like a habit, but I put it in this category. It's negativity. Right? It's like Eeyore, like, ugh, complaint, negative, glass half empty type stuff. My tolerance for that, hardly any, right? I find it very contagious. I find it very depleting. That's an example of kind of understanding what is your emotional tolerance? What's your comfort level with things being shared, going to those more intimate emotional levels, things that you share with other people? Receiving other people's sharing and also things being shared about you. Also, the volume and the content of conversation is an example of an emotional boundary. Are you someone who can really accept and welcome feedback and you are able to kind of give and receive? Does that feel okay to you or not? What about teasing and sarcasm? Does that have some sharp elements to it where it's okay in some situations, but not others? Those are all examples of kind of emotional boundaries. Are you someone who is very private and reserved? You would identify yourself maybe as much more shy. Or are you very forthcoming, open book, very transparent? That's an example of an emotional boundary. None of these are right or wrong. They're just your personal preferences. And they're probably very different from the next person and the next person. So there we go. We've got physical boundaries, and then we've got emotional boundaries. Let's sneak one more in before the break. Let's talk about sexual boundaries. What is your comfort level with things like nudity? Your nudity, other people's nudity, it being in private versus maybe certainly being in public. Privacy. Are you someone who wants to shower with the door closed? Do you use the restroom and make sure the door is closed? Is the door locked when you're doing that? Can people come in and out of that experience? Again, not right or wrong, just your own personal boundaries. Touch also will go along with this in terms of the sexual parts. Are there specific behaviors that you're perfectly fine engaging in? And other times there, you're not so comfortable, behaviors that you're absolutely not, that are not acceptable to you, but also kind of like maybe it changes from day to day, what your preferences are, what feels okay and what doesn't. That would be very, very normal and very healthy, but also very important to be able to have a conversation about. What about conversations about sex? That's actually a huge boundary that goes under this category. How comfortable are you with being able to have conversation, your likes, your dislikes, what's okay, what's not okay, what you want, what you don't want? That's an example. Words that are used to describe different body parts or different sexual acts. You see, those are all the ideas. Like, obviously, if you're talking to a five-year-old, your boundaries are going to look a certain way versus, again, an intimate partner or a stranger or a girlfriend. Those are all very, very different. And that's why some of the confusion comes in. So we have talked about physical boundaries. We've talked about emotional boundaries. And then we just were able to address sexual boundaries too. So what are you recognizing for yourself? Can you see maybe a little bit of where you might need some clarification, maybe some fine tuning, and you need your own awareness of like, wait a minute, what is okay with me and what isn't? Are there areas where you need to be having a little bit more conversation and clarity with other people so that you can be more clear in your relationships, that people don't have to guess and they do trust your yes and your no? So we're going to take another break, and I want to make sure if you need to, you know how to be in touch with me. Send me an email, allisonblythe@live.com. If you ever want to visit my website, allisonblythe.com, and social media, Allison Blythe Life Coach. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about boundaries just to wrap it up for today. Stay tuned.
While standing in line to pay for lunch, I heard a young man say to the lady next to him, "It's okay, I'll pay for you." I assumed they were together, but in the ensuing conversation, it became clear that they didn't know each other. The young man said, "I try to do something for someone else every day. Today, you're it." He smiled. So did the lady, so did I, so did everyone who heard. This is a great example of mahatmyam, having a great soul. This greatness of soul is infectious. It spreads. That young man's action delighted everyone there. That lady has a story to share with her friends and family. I'm now sharing it with you. Random acts of kindness are incredibly powerful. It's the power of a great soul, mahatmyam. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this greatness together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Here we are back on The Ally Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, with me, Allison Blythe, Certified Life Coach and Licensed Clinical Social Worker. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio as we educate, equip, and empower you along your way of authentically living life your way. Today, we have started the conversation on boundaries and understanding kind of the nuances and why they're so important, but also where things go so wrong, why there's so much confusion. We started into different categories of boundaries, helping people understand that, from my opinion, there's at least 12 different categories of boundaries. So far, we've addressed physical, we've talked about emotional boundaries, and then before the break, we talked about sexual boundaries. Got some clarity around some of those. Now, we're going to talk about one more, which are actually verbal boundaries. But before we start that, I'm wondering, how is this for you? Like, what's your experience with understanding how well you're doing with boundaries? Remember, we said if you could really grade yourself and give yourself an assessment, now that we've gone through some of these and helped you clarify, would you change your grade, or would you bump it up at all? Or would you kind of realize, like, ooh, I really do need some work on these boundaries? That's okay. That's exactly what this is all about. I shared how not good I was at setting boundaries. So kind of this understanding that it doesn't really matter how old we are or how much experience, it's actually fairly normal for people to really struggle with them. So let's move on to verbal boundaries. And some examples of this would include, let's say, cussing. What words are you okay using? What words are you okay being around and actually hearing in conversation? That's an example. We talked about maybe like a loud talker or a close talker. Like, sometimes that feels not very comfortable. So being around volume, I know that influences me greatly. Being around someone who maybe has a higher level of volume, it's like, ugh. Length and frequency of conversations. We all have that friend who we haven't spoken to in months or maybe even years, and we just don't need to. The friendship is solid. When we catch up, it's like hitting the ground running again with someone. And it's just a beautiful friendship that doesn't need a lot of emphasis and priority in our day to day, but it still remains just as strong. There are other friendships that look very different, that there is much more consistent verbal contact. I have family members who speak almost every single day, right? Like, that just bewilders me. That's not really my jam. I don't have a lot of space or capacity for that type of stuff. So the length of conversation that you'll have and the frequency that you prefer. Again, not right or wrong. It's just differences. Same family, right? But just different preferences for people. Maybe you're someone who does prefer to talk on the phone. I said that's a boundary that's really changed for me over the years. I don't always have the energy or the time to be able to talk on the phone. Maybe you're the person who sends like page-long text messages in order to have some kind of verbal engagement. Well, that's not really verbal, but you know what I mean. Some type of exchange with somebody. So are you someone who will convey information verbally, talking on the phone, in person, having conversation, or are you that person who is texting, which will be the tech boundary that we talk about next time? Also, kind of what you'll share and with whom, right? How much is being shared, and kind of understanding who are you doing that with? Here's another example that I think is really important. It's substance of your conversation, not just the length and the frequency, but what is the conversation about? Small talk, superficial, like, that's another thing. I don't know how to do it. If I first meet you and I really kind of like you, let's talk about it. Like, let's talk about the world's problems. Let's talk about what's going right. Like, the substance of conversation for other people, it's like, whoa, I just met you. Like, that is way too deep. That is way too complicated. I don't even know how to have that language or conversation with you. So the length and frequency of conversation, and then also substance. If you are someone who wants to and needs to keep things up here on this light level, it's not right or wrong. It's just know that there's a much bigger difference with people who want to have conversation down here. Maybe it takes you much more time to get to that level. Okay. So kind of understanding that there's differences with those types of nuances too. Are you someone who is an internal processor or an external processor? Something happens, a situation occurs, conflict, whatever, decision needs to be made, and you come in here and you're mulling around and thinking about and sorting through details. You're maybe much more of an internal processor versus someone who wants to talk it out. They just want to vent. They want to process. They want to talk about 17 different solutions, and they're going to iron out that all of that externally. Are you an internal processor or are you an external processor? Important to know that in the differences. Here's another thing that is a boundary, a verbal boundary, is gossip. And here's a nuance. I have a girlfriend who will not entertain any conversation about someone who is not in the room. Now, good news, not bad news. And it's been fascinating to me because I never saw good news as gossip, right? If they got the promotion or they got engaged, like I didn't see that as gossip. I kind of in some ways still don't, but like I know for her, she's rock solid. Like they're not here. We don't discuss them. It enhances my level of trust and safety with her, right? Like I know that it's not, she's just not going to do that. That's a protective element that she feels like the line could get a little too gray for people to slip into conversation that's not theirs to have. What about gossip? Do you not necessarily think anything of sharing positive or negative? Wait till you hear what I heard, right? That's a verbal boundary. I'm not comfortable with that, or they're not actually present. That sounds like something you might need to iron out with them. Those are all examples of those verbal boundaries. But are you okay if someone is not in proximity to be able to share good news, bad news? It teaches people a lot about your safety and their level of trust and intimacy with you. So there's verbal boundaries too. So we've covered physical, we've talked about emotional, sexual, and now verbal boundaries. I wonder in those categories, I don't want to offer you too much to chew on. I don't want to give you the whole elephant, but just some bits to chew on over the next couple of weeks. What are you recognizing needs your attention? Are there areas where you just are like, man, I have not had boundaries in that. I didn't even realize that was a category. I need some clarity. I have had some confusion about that. What categories are really needing more of your attention for you to find more, for you to define more about what you like and what you don't like? What were the things that you were taught in any of these areas? Do you want to continue to subscribe to them? Does that fit and it's accurate and it feels fulfilling to you? Or is there something else you want to redefine for yourself? Are there specific areas of just these four categories or specific people that you notice your boundaries are really poor with? Remember, I said there's a difference between personal and professional. Are you more wobbly in your boundaries with some people where you might need to really strengthen and tighten up? Yeah, so there you go. We've talked about those four categories. As you move forward over the next couple of weeks, one of the things I would encourage, it's that good old tool of self-awareness. I will probably hand that to you during every episode. Like, how aware are you of what feels okay and what doesn't? Pay attention to how something or someone feels to you. Do you roll your eyes when someone's name comes across your phone? Are you like dreading your family interactions? Or are you secretly hoping that that party gets canceled that you were invited to on New Year's Eve or Friday night? Those are all cues and pieces of information that most likely a boundary needs to be clarified, needs to probably be asserted and then potentially followed through with, right? Like a kind of understanding that those emotional cues are indicators that need your attention. It's not right or wrong. It's just information. If you're feeling really exhausted, irritated, disappointed, overwhelmed, like those are cues, again, probably tightly linked to your boundaries. What are your feelings trying to tell you? That's a piece of information that you can use in terms of self-awareness. Maybe yours has gotten to a much more serious level. Maybe you feel really resentful and depleted. Maybe you've even gotten to the point of hostility like that. That's an example that you've gone a little bit too far. Maybe you've stayed too long. Maybe you've stayed silent about things that actually really need your attention. I write in Misunderstood about this diagnosis I kind of made up, but maybe you can relate to the diagnosis of fed upness. Have you gotten to a point where you're just fed up? Chances are there's going to be a need for a boundary somewhere. So self-awareness over the next couple of weeks and also self-responsibility. If something's going on in your life, if you really have gotten to the point where it's that bad, chances are you've allowed it, right? It's not a blame statement. It's just this reality that you've kind of allowed some of these things to go on. So kind of realizing as we move forward, self-awareness and self-responsibility being some really core tools that you can use in navigating this. I'll be curious to hear over the next couple of weeks what you are recognizing in yourself and maybe where you can shore up some of those boundaries. Next time, we're going to address all the rest of the categories and focus on ways that you can continue authentically living life your way. If you want to contact me, please visit my website at allisonblythe.com and social media, Allison Blythe Life Coach. I want to thank you for tuning in to Ally Effect, the authentically living life your way, where we educate, equip, and empower you along the way. Next time, we are going to dive into the other topics. So you can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month. And I look forward to seeing you again, my friends.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ally Effect with Allison Blythe. The moment you decide to take control of your own well-being, you start the journey of authenticity. Tune in next time for more empowering conversations and practical tools to help you shed your fear, worry, comparison, and less-than beliefs. Stick with us as you step into the driver's seat and head off onto the road of success and happiness. Your best life awaits.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.